Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle David Viggs. I want to welcome you back this morning. Let's get started with our prayer, Colossians prayer, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We pray this Colossians prayers over ourselves this morning. We pray that from the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray and to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray, Lord, that I may walk, that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you, desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. We give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. We thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through your blood, through Jesus' blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. We have prayed, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, I want us to talk about what we'll begin talking about conditions for answered prayer. And there's several of them that I'm going to be sharing with you this week, but today we'll just look at one. So if we could go to the book of Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a psalm that I would encourage you to pray every single day. Do not leave your home without praying Psalm 91. And in fact, before you go to bed, pray Psalm 91. If you're able to throughout the day, pray Psalm 91. For different situations, for loved ones, for you can pray Psalm 91 for protection and deliverance. You can also pray Psalm 91 even in a situation where you or a loved one is ill. You can, there's a provision in Psalm 91 where God promises at the end that he will satisfy us with long life. And so you can use Psalm 91 to pray as well for any type of physical situation or attack that they may come upon you. But Psalm 91 is a great psalm, that I would encourage you, like I said, to pray as often as you can, because it guarantees us God's protection. It guarantees us deliverance from the enemy's attacks. Amen. And so our job is to do verse 1 and verse 2. And from verse 3 all the way to verse 16, that's God's part. Amen. So we need to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and we remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. And we need to say out of our mouths, which says, the second verse says, I will say of the Lord. Instead of saying he is my refuge, I always personalize it and say, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God. On you I lean and rely, and in you I confidently trust. However, that's just a side issue. I'm not really looking for that for those verses right now. I just wanted to throw that in to say that Psalm 91 is one that is particularly important for believers to pray every day. But I want us to look at verse 15. In verse 15, it says, he shall call upon me. Who's the he? The person who is praying. The calling upon God is the prayer. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So God promises us first that when we call upon him, when we cry out to him in prayer, he will answer us. Amen. So prayer is one of the greatest opportunities and greatest privileges that we have as Christians, to communicate with God. It's one of the greatest ministries that is available to all Christians. When you study the Gospels and you study Jesus's ministry, one thing that Jesus did, he taught a lot. you know, he actually taught the disciples how to pray. He never really taught them how to preach. You don't find where he's saying he's teaching them how to preach, but he taught them how to pray. So prayer is key, and you'll see that Jesus would separate himself from, you know, the disciples and from the crowds at certain times just to go and pray. At some points, you'll find that he spent the entire night in prayer. So prayer is key. You know, most people will tell you, oh, I pray. You know, praying, knowing how to pray is one thing, you know, pray, but getting answers is another. So, of course, you have to pray according to the will of God. You know, when you pray according to his will, we're told in 1 John 5:14-15 that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But, you know, and if we know that he hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, some of the conditions that will help, because, you know, you doing that part is fine. You know, all of us doing that part of praying with confidence, praying according to the will of God, it's great. However, there are certain conditions also that could hinder your prayers from not being answered if they're not implemented. And so one of the things that, you know, that if you and I desire to have our prayers answered at all times, we should then seek to learn how to pray effectively. Now, remember, God not only welcomes us in prayer, but he's actually waiting for us to pray. And so there's 8 conditions, actually, that, you know, we'll go through in the Bible that the Word of God gives us for approaching God in prayer in a way that will bring answers always. These are what I call basic conditions or requirements. And so today we're going to look at the first step of getting our prayers answered. And in this first step, we want to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. And if you recall, we used Hebrews chapter 5 last week when I was talking about Jesus being our high priest. And so in Hebrews 5, the verse 7, the Bible says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who always was able to save him, out from death, and he was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. So we see right there that this speaks of Jesus' life on earth and how he prayed. So during the days of, you know, when Jesus was here, he offered up, you know, definite special petitions to God for things that not only he wanted, but he needed. You know, and he knew he could only, you know, offer those up. And we're told he offered up supplications as well with strong crying and tears to him, to God, who was able to save him out from death. And God heard him. Why did God hear him? The Bible tells us here, and he was heard because of his reverence toward God, his godly fear. This is amplified now, amplifying it. His godly fear, his piety, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. So, like I said, last week we studied this verse from the viewpoint of Jesus as our example of a priest, and how during his earthly life he offered up prayers and petitions to the Father. But you see that we are told something else which is so important. We're told why God the Father always heard the prayers of his son Jesus. It says that he was heard because of his reverence, submission toward God. And so this is the first condition for approaching God in prayer. Now, how was this reverent submission of Jesus expressed? And so in this verse, the writer of Hebrews is referring to the time when Jesus was actually praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so if we just quickly go to Matthew chapter 26, and we just look at a description of that event, Matthew 26, verse 39 and verse 42. In verse 39 it says, and going a little farther, he threw himself upon the ground on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, not what I desire, but as you will and desire. Then verse 42 says, And the second time he went away and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass by unless I drink it, your will be done. Okay, so the, you know, godly reverence or reverence submission, therefore, consists of saying to the Father, not as I will, but as you will. Let your will be done. That's the first condition. It consists of renouncing our own will and embracing the will of God. Now, Jesus gave us a pattern to use in what we call the Lord's Prayer. In part of this prayer, he included this very principle. He taught us to pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So meaning when we come to God, we have to say, Your will be done in this situation. And, you know, within those words of your will be done resides the meaning that if your will, if God's will, you know, it's like if your will, Lord, and my will are not in agreement, then I renounce my will in order that your will may be done in my life or your will may be done in this situation. You see, where the two wills conflict, it is the will of God that must be allowed to have free course. Let me say that again. Where the two wills conflict, it is the will of God that must be allowed to have free course. You see, there's an aspect of the old nature that is being dealt with by this requirement. In the letter to the Ephesians, Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he explained it to them in verse 22 through 24. He says, Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? So there are two selves. There's the old self, which is our nature before God changed us, and the new self, which is what God wants to make of us. For the new self to express itself, we have to first put off the old self. So that is something we have to do. It's our responsibility. It is not something that God is going to do for us. So when we say, not my will, we are actually putting off the old self. And when we say, your will be done, then we are putting on the new self. And that is how we are changed or made new in the attitude of our minds. Now, if God were to answer all the prayers of the old self in every one of us, then the universe would be in chaos. Now, you know, I'll give you an example just so you can see what I mean. So, for instance, I like to use farming examples. So let's take a farmer who is praying, you know, let's use two scenarios. Let's use some children in school who are wanting to go outside during recess to play, but it looks like it's raining. And these kids are praying, God, can you take away the rain? Or Lord, keep this rain away. And then while they're praying for the rain to stay away, here's a farmer who's been praying and has been on his knees, who has planted seed, and yet it hasn't rained. There's been a drought in the area. And so for him, he's thanking God for the rain. He's been praying, Lord, we need rain, and the rain is pouring. And now he's thanking God, Father, I thank you for this rain. And here are these kids who are saying, Lord, keep this rain away. So in that scenario, how do you think God is going to answer both those prayers? Well, the truth is, of course, that God is not committed. Hear what I'm saying. He is not committed to answer either one of those prayers unless it is the prayer of the new self, which has renounced its own will. So, or take another example. Let's take two nations that are at war with one another. You find that there's, in each country, there's Christians, okay? And in each nation, these Christians are praying, God, give our nation victory in this war. Well, how can God possibly do that? You see, this nation, they're saying, God, give us victory. In that nation, they're saying, God, give us victory. All of them are Christians. They're saved, believe in Jesus, and they're doing everything right. And so how can God possibly give both nations victory? You see, God isn't committed to do that. God is only committed to answer the prayers of the new self, but he is not committed to cater to that old rebel, that old self who just keeps asserting his or her own will. So when we pray for anything, we need to begin by asking ourselves, am I praying for this thing because I want it or because God wants it? You see, it makes a great deal of difference. If it is because I want it, then my prayers may not be answered. But if it is because God wants it, then my prayers will be answered. You see, there are certain areas where people habitually bring their requests and petitions to God, such as asking to be healed of sickness or for a financial need to be met or for something, you know, for, you know, God to deliver them from some, you know, legal matter or whatever. Okay? Now, even in instances like these that we think are surely within the will of God, we still must ask ourselves, you know, am I praying for healing because I want to be healed or because God wants me to be healed? Or am I praying for financial prosperity because it is what I want or it is because this is what God wants for me? Because I'm telling you, when you start approaching prayer from this angle, it will affect your whole approach to God if you can settle that issue. Jesus gave us the example. He prayed. He cried out with tears pouring out. He threw himself to the ground. What he wanted was not to have to go through that. He didn't want to have to drink of that cup. But then he said, well, not what I will, but your will be done. Again, the second time he's like, Father, really, this cup, do I have to go through this? But again, well, let your will be done in this matter. You see, he had to remove himself from there. What he wanted wasn't as important as what God's will was. And so he had to let God's will prevail in this situation. Again, to just give you another example, people sometimes, you know, whenever I get a lot of people asking me for prayer, whether it's prayer for healing or prayer for finances or whatever, for marriage or whatever. And I recall years ago when I prayed with somebody, it was actually when we had our prayer line, and I remember saying to this particular individual, we are praying for God's will to be done. Well, because their parent, the parent who was ill, the situation was so severe, was bad that the doctors didn't think the person would make it. And because I said, let's pray for God's will to be done, they figured that I was actually saying, let this person die. But that's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying, let this person die. I figured we both would have wanted for the person to be healed, but we don't know what God's will in this situation is. We know that the Bible says God is our healer, but there's other deeper things going on. So it's always best when you don't know what to say or what to do to pray for the will of God to be done in that situation. You know, what it is, why am I pointing this out to you? The thing is, as long as you and I are pressing for our will, you know, then the will of God cannot really come to pass in the situation. As long as it's what I want, then God's will not manifest in this situation. As long as it's what you want, whatever it is you're praying for, it's what you want, then God's will not be able to come to pass. You see, as long as we keep our hand on that thing, God cannot touch that situation. God, you know, we're keeping God out of that situation. As long as we're trying to force our own will through, we do not allow room for the will of God to be done. Amen? So when you think about renouncing your own will and embracing the will of God, I suggest that you bear three truths in mind. First of all, God loves you and I more than we love ourselves. Secondly, God understands us better than we understand ourselves. And thirdly, God wants only the best for us. When we are truly yielded to his will, you'll discover that it is what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, the good and acceptable and perfect. Amen? What is good, acceptable, and perfect? Romans chapter 12 and 9, verse 2. Let me read the whole verse to you. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen. So that's why this scripture is key in this situation. So when we reverence God, when we submit ourselves to the Lord, you know, in reverence, fear, you know, when we do that, the prayer that we pray is not a way for us to get God to do whatever we want. When we say, your will be done, we are becoming instruments for God to do what he wants to do. Now, if you consider what Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, you know, we all know that verse and we all quote it a lot of times. Oh, yeah, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask, think, or imagine. And that's great. It's true. He is able to do that. However, God's ability to answer our prayers goes abundantly, immeasurably beyond all that we ask or think. Yes, how can that possibly be? Well, what could be beyond anything that I could ask or think or imagine or reason? Well, the answer is whatever God wants to do, his will in the situation. When I'm praying, in order for this verse, Ephesians 3:20, to be in effect in my life, it means that it's God's will being done in the situation. You know, he's able to do abundantly above all. Let's read that again in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So it has to be beyond our prayers, beyond our desires. And what would that be? It is whatever God wants to do. You see, whatever God wants to do is far greater and far higher and far better than anything you and I could ever imagine or think of for ourselves. Now, as long as we limit God to doing merely what we want, we miss what God wants to do. So in order to receive the best from God in our prayers, we have to come to God in the way that Jesus came, with reverent submission. We saw the Bible tells us that he reverenced God. Again, going back to Hebrews chapter 5, it's very important that you understand this, meditate upon this, because this scripture holds the key. He says that he in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed. So we see that he offered up petitions for the things that he not only wanted but he needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him who was able to save him or deliver him out from death. You know, so we can go to God in the same way. We can go to God. We can offer up petitions for that which we not only want but need, and supplications with strong crying and tears to him, to God, who is able always to deliver us or save us from death. And the Bible says, and he was heard because of his reverence toward God. So Jesus came to God with reverence, submission. You know, and I tell you, we have to say, God, yes, I'm praying for this, I'm believing you, I'm trusting you for this, but God, not as I will, but as you will. God, I'm not praying to be healed because I want to be healed, but because I believe your word when you say that you want me to be healed. And so that's why I'm praying. Lord, I'm not praying for finances or financial prosperity because I want to be rich and, you know, spend, but because I believe it is your will for me to prosper. It is according to your covenant. You know, you give me the ability to prosper or to gain wealth because of the covenant that you made. So when you pray according to his will, this is why 1 John 5:14 is key, okay? You know, because we always say, you know, this is the confidence that we pray, that, you know, when we pray according to his will, we don't really understand it. You know, his word, and some, you know, I've always used that to say his word, But God made me see it in a different light and said, don't change that will to put it his word. He said, it has to be will. You know, as I was meditating, the Lord brought me back to this and said, go back to it and see what it says. And let me go back. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will. And then in Amplified, in parentheses, it says, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears us. And for years, I've been teaching, saying, you know, according to his will is his word. So it has to be in agreement with his word. And so it seemed okay. But now, as I was going deeper, the Holy Spirit said, no, go back to it. And based on what I'm sharing with you today, he said, it has to be in agreement with the plan of God. So his will is his plan. So whatever we are praying, it has to be, if we ask him anything, we make any request, this covers anything, whether it's finances, healing, you know, whatever, marriage, career, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You know, when you ask, when you pray, that asking there is praying. When you pray, make sure that it has to be according to his will. So your will be done in this situation, Lord. You know, whatever I'm praying for right now, let your will be done. Let it be in agreement with his own plan. Then the Bible promises us that he listens to and hears us when we pray it according to his will. Then in verse 15, we are told, and if since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of him. So if we pray it according to his will, you know, in agreement with his plan for our lives, then and only then does he hear and listen to us. He listens to us and hears us, and then we know with absolute knowledge, settled and absolute knowledge, that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests that we've made of him. Amen. And so it's so important that we pray according to the will of God. God does want us to be healed, but not because we want to be healed, because he wants us to be healed. God wants us to prosper, but not because we want to be the ones to prosper, because he wants us to prosper, to keep in line with his covenant that he made to our forefathers. Amen. And so it's so important that when you're praying with reverent submission to God's will, you're going to go far higher than you could ever go by asserting your own will. That's when you will see Ephesians 3:20 actually manifesting in your life, where God is able to do abundantly above all. So what it is to get rid of that old self. That's the one that gets in the way, because this is what I want. So when you pray, or when I pray, we are saying, Lord, I'm praying for this because this is what I want. And I mean, we will do what we need to do. We will fast. We just completed our 40 days of fasting on the 10th. And I can imagine how many people were praying based on their will after that 40 days of fasting and haven't seen answers to their fasting or to their prayers because it was based on what they wanted, not based on what he wanted. You know, so if what you were doing was not in line with his will, you've got to start over. Amen. Whatever prayers you're offering up, even this day, if it is not in accordance to his will, you've got to start over. Go back to God. Repent for wanting your way. Let it be his will, his plan, so that it is whatever you pray from this day forward will be in agreement with his own plan, his will. Then you'll begin to see your prayers answered in Jesus' name. So I pray that you've been blessed by today's teaching, and I pray that you'll join me again tomorrow morning as we continue looking at some of the rest of the conditions that the Bible gives us for praying, or conditions for answered prayer. May you have a blessed and prosperous day, and we'll talk again tomorrow by his grace. Be blessed. Bye-bye.